Boom! What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the FPL Draft Duo podcast with myself, Nolesy. Hope you are all keeping well. Two game weeks to go in FPL and people are desperate for them W's. So hopefully we can get you a W this week and next week. People are behind by 3 points. People are ahead. People are behind in total point leagues. So yeah, hopefully we can pick the best players for game week 37 and 38. Fantastic week last week. It was kind of like the highlight of our season with loads of players returning, and hopefully we can do the same thing this week. Before I go into the waivers, it might be a bit different next week because it's our last podcast, 38, and that's it then. You know, not many people are interested in a wrap-up. So I suppose now is the time to just thank everyone one last time for any person that has listened or interacted in any way, shape or form. Such a journey from the start of the podcast. I actually just went back and listened to like episode 5. And you know, sound quality and I suppose the knowledge and the presentation changed totally. And I cannot wait to elevate that next year. We are, as you might have seen in on our socials, we have a website up and running where we write articles about the waivers we're talking about and other articles that might be of interest. So if you're interested, give it a read. That will be a lot more frequent next year as well. But thank you. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it so much. And hopefully we have been of assistance this year. This week felt like one of them weeks where we were given back to people that were following us. People that were listening to the podcast got rewarded with a couple of players. And hopefully that was important for you in winning your draft. But anyways, enough said. Thank you so much. Next season, loads and loads of ideas. Cannot wait for it. I can't wait to like take a break and like just come up with ideas and then get prepared for next year. So thank you also to anyone who's got involved in the T12. It's really, really getting down to crunch time. And I know a lot of people have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it more than ever because the stakes are so high, especially, you know, given content, you have to, I suppose, back it up. Yeah, going to take a lot of organizing, so bear with us for season 3, it will be, which is a bit mad. And yeah, hopefully you have enjoyed the podcast. Appreciate it, as always. Let's get into the goalkeepers. I suppose we have to talk about three keepers that I have here that could be on the waivers that might be beneficial for double game week 37 and 38. We will start with a little shout out for our boy Muric of Burnley. Another massive result this week. His last three games have been 7, 8 and then last week 10 pointer with that penalty save. What a goal. He still is a decent pick. Spurs away. Hopefully he'll rack up them save points. Forest at home. Could be a tough one with Forest needing a win. But yeah, again, we are all for the save points. Two players that might be on the waiver is Mark Travers, has started the last three games in goal for Bournemouth. Mentioned last week as far as I remember. They play Brentford at home, who are looking decent, solid enough, but they don't have a massive amount to play for. They haven't been scoring loads of goals recently, so hopefully he can get a couple of save points and then maybe even a clean sheet. So Travers is also a decent pick. And then for Bruggen, this is a player where the first time you're going to actually suggest him, he's obviously not going to start. But in the last 10 games, I think he's only started or failed to start two of them. So you could say that he is the number one keeper now, but that won't stop De Zerbi from actually benching him. They play 4 days apart, therefore it could be likely. But I suppose if you were going for a punt, if you had a single game week keeper that maybe doesn't have a great fixture and you wanted another one, Verbruggen could be that man. They do play Newcastle and Chelsea, so again, what's the odds of a clean sheet? But again, if you're looking for that extra fixture, Verbruggen could be that man. It would be a serious shame if he only started one and didn't get a clean sheet, but unfortunately, that is the risk you're going to have to be willing to take. Okay, so on to our defenders section of the podcast. And we have a lot. And I want to rank them based on single game week players, double game week players, and so on and so forth. So one person I'm going to start with, single game week player, is Anderson. Anderson was extremely unlucky not to get an assist the last day. it's kind of shit that he didn't get an assist, maybe didn't get the last touch, but was very influential in one of the goals. But the likes of Jackson got an assist where it ricocheted off and Palmer finished it. So Anderson, Gay, Richards, any of these three from Crystal Palace are decent defenders. They look like stalwarts, especially Richards and Anderson. I expect Gay to come back into that side for Nathaniel Klein. Apparently the manager said he's very, very impressed with Gay. And yeah, I think they'll want to solidify that even more. Crystal Palace have been very, very good under the new shape. And it might only be a one-week punt in Wolves away, because they have Villa at home last game week. So that's why they're kind of bottom of the list. But all great defenders in their own right. And I think they've gone under the radar because of their fixtures. But they could be available. Moving up the list, single game week players. Reguilon, this man just keeps returning. Last five game weeks, he has returned four times. 9 points, 8 points, 7, 1, 8. And he should have got a 9 pointer. Well, not should have. He got a yellow card late on in the game, which actually brought him out of the bonus points initially, and then he got back into it. So he's a bit of a bonus point monster. And yeah, they're playing Bournemouth away. They are an attacking side, Bournemouth, and can score at any time, any team. But at the same time, Brentford have been really solid. They haven't been too exciting going forward, but they have been solid defensively. So could be another clean sheet on the cards. They do play Newcastle at home, last game of the season. So again, kind of a one-week punt. But I wouldn't mind starting them against Newcastle. So if you are looking at double game week defenders, don't get too blinded by, again, the two fixtures. It looks lovely when you put your team out and you just expect loads of points. But likes of Reguilon at home, the likes of Reguilon against Bournemouth is not to be underestimated. I know a lot of people are sending me teams and they're like, who should I get? And I see Reguilon on the bench. I'm like, Jesus, it's a brave decision to put Reguilon on the bench with the form he's in. So don't overlook him this week. But if we are looking at double game week defenders, one of them teams that you might get players from are Brighton. One of the players that I thought was going to be a decent option was Barco. Looked very, very good when he came on or started the last day. Only got a single minute the last day. So unfortunate. If he got a start, I'd definitely have him high up the list. But maybe it was for the best. Igor started left back. Dunk started centre back. Webster was with him and Veltman was right back. So if I had to pick Brighton defenders, I'd obviously have Dunk. He's nailed on, but more than likely taken. Veltman and Webster are the top two out of those pile. Maybe Veltman because he can play centre-back and can play right-back. And we've seen Afiai come on and play right-back. So you never know. There could be a change in shape. Webster or Veltman, bit of a toss-up. If one's taken and one's not, go for the other one and hope for the best, I suppose. But they're a nice addition if you want them double game week players. They do play Newcastle away, Chelsea at home, and United at home in the last game of the season, which is not really scary. But yeah, you'd probably be of the impression that Newcastle and Chelsea are going to score. So that's why I'm looking at even a Palace defender and definitely Reguilon above all of these double game week players, because it's a 50-50. You know, if you do think Wolves are going to score and Anderson's only going to get 2 points, well, then Webster or Veltman, you know, the 3 or the 4 points that they more than likely will get is an increase. Yeah. So, you know, it's up to what you want. I personally would love Reguilon over the lot of those. If we are looking at players that seem like they have higher upside, it's the Chelsea defenders. And I have 7 Chelsea defenders down here that could play. And it could be up to 8 by the time the game comes round, especially that Brighton game. They play both of those games away. Forest really need a win. Brighton have been okay. They do play Bournemouth last game of the season, so that's really, really enticing. That's the most enticing part about the Chelsea defence. Let's look at what they could have. They could have De Sassi right back. They could have Gusto right back. They could have Thiago Silva centre back, Shalaba centre back, Badiashile, Colwell. They could have Cucurella left back. They could have Colwell left back. So there's so many different variations of that Chelsea defence. And it's very hard to pick them. If I had to pick one, I'd be picking Thiago Silva. Now, it's funny because Thiago Silva picked up an injury a couple of weeks ago. I think it was against Arsenal. And a lot of people thought that's his last Chelsea game. And we now know that he is leaving Chelsea, confirmed at the end of the season. And I think he'll want to play all three of those games. That's why I go for him. I think he definitely still could get rested, as could any of those players. But if I had to hang my hat on one player, it would be Thiago Silva. He also banged. He also banged an assist the last day. 11-pointer. So that kind of helps him as well. You know, that he could drive the team on. They have been very, very good the last 2 weeks. So, you know, maybe they just want that solidification. I think Chelsea could be opened up if they keep rotating that defence. Cucurella's probably up there because he's a left back and he has been inverted. So, in terms of probability of starts, Cucurella's up there because of what he can do at left back, but also Caldwell's coming back from injury. He's played a lot at left back at the start of the season. Shalaba was fantastic in centre back, gave an unbelievable pre-assist through to Madueke. What a ball. So I think he's high up the list. I think Thiago Silva, Cucurella, Shalaba, if I was going for the Chelsea defenders, I'd probably go for them. But in my eyes, Badiashile will get a start. Caldwell will probably feature. Maybe not a start in the double, maybe against Bournemouth. Gustro, I think, will get a start. So I think unless you're happy enough with, you know, a game and a half with any of these, I suppose go Thiago Silva. I think you're getting the two, probably three games out of them. Still great picks. Definitely still great picks. I'm not saying don't get them because they all won't start. You have to take a chance on some, you know. I'd be taking my chance on Thiago Silva or Cucurella. Top of the list is a man who is back from injury, Trippier. I picked him up last week and I presume he's picked up on a lot of waivers, but if he was, you know, avoided last week, Trippier this week is the pick. He mightn't play both games, and I can't imagine he'll play three because they are four games apart, the 11th, the 15th, and the 19th. But he doesn't need much time. 10 assists this season in 28 games. Even if he only played one in the double, I think he's going to be better than a lot of players on your team. He's going to have a high probability. I was worried about, will he play before the Euros? But I seen somewhere that, like, you know, he'll need to play. Because Kyle Walker is probably number one right back. And he'll want to prove his point. So, thinking about that, it's probably true. Trippier will want to plant the seed in Southgate's head that I'm still the best right back in terms of in possession. In terms of creating chances going forward and set pieces. So, don't forget about me. So, yeah. They play Brentford last game of the season as well. So, which is a decent fixture. At this stage, you'd like to think Brentford would kind of be, you know, chilling out. And Trippier could haul. He could haul on any one of those days, but probably won't play the double. Probably won't play the two games in the double. Still worth a pickup, 100%. On to our midfielder section, and we have loads of midfielders. I have to go to like 12, 30 midfielders here. That is because a lot of these midfielders come up in the question section. So I'm going to go through some of the better picks, and then the other players apply to questions. I'm going to start off with an okay low level double game week midfielder, and that's Buonanotte. He has played a lot for Brighton over the last while. I don't know how confident I'd be of him starting both, but apart from João Pedro, apart from Welbeck, Gross and Adingra, I think he's the only other possible Brighton asset that you could pick up that might play the two game weeks. How likely is that? I'd probably be at 50-50. 50% that he plays both games. Nearly as much chance that he doesn't. So, you know, we'll go with the 50%. If you want to take that gamble on a double game week player, so be it. I think he's got like 3 goals and 1 assist this season. Not bad. Let me just check that up. 3 goals, 1 assist, yeah. And his XG has been very, very similar to that. So, you know, you're not talking about much here. But it is a double game week player. But single game week players that I think have fantastic runs until the end of the year are the Luton boys. They play West Ham away. West Ham, I would probably presume that they have overtaken Luton as one of the worst defence in the league after that 5-0 loss. They're in limbo at the minute. They're playing very, very poor football. And Luton need the win. Barkley and Chong were two of the best players on the pitch against Everton. Chong got man of the match, and I think Barkley was the other shout for man of the match. So if I was picking any Luton player, it would definitely be these two. I'd be putting Chong ahead of Barkley just because of his position, and he's more often in the final third and giving them final third passes. Barkley sets it up, can get into the box late, and has a fantastic ping on him. But Chong would be a savage single game week player. And then also, they play Fulham at home, last game of the season. Now, I don't know if people saw this, but Fulham were playing, they were sailing kites, if that's what you call it, in training the last day. One of the questions is, who's on the beach? What teams are on the beach? And if that doesn't shout beach to me, I don't know what does. I'm not saying that Fulham don't give a shit, but, you know, what do they have to play for? Standard Fulham, mid-table, happy out, stayed up. And Luton are going to be going balls out. That's at home, last game of the season. That's going to be an absolute cracker. Chong, for that game, could be a huge pick. So, the West Ham away, the Fulham at home, they're two great fixtures. The likes of Buonanotte, even last game of the season, will he start, so on and so forth. Chong and Barkley are actually probably a bit more solid, even though they've won less fixture. Other single game week players, Harrison against Sheffield at home. He was okay. He had racked up a nice XGI against Luton. Let me get it here. 0.49, not bad. Had a very, very good chance to whip it in top left bins. Harrison in the overall play wasn't amazing, but I do expect him to continue to start. He's got, 490 minutes in a row now. So yeah, he's a bit of a stalwart. Sheffield at home, relegated already. As I said to some fella on Twitter, Everton never go balls out. They never win 4 and 5 nil. So I suppose your chances of getting big returns are relatively low, but against Sheffield, anything can happen. Where Harrison falls down is that they play Arsenal last game of the season. You can nearly predict what that is, like 2-3 nil to Arsenal. So it is another 1 week punt. If we are moving up to the double game week players, Jacob Murphy is up there. And Jacob Murphy feels like a no-brainer this week. He feels like a no-brainer because he's just got two assists. He's a bit of a stalwart, and they have a double game week. But as much as I love Jacob Murphy, and I've praised him the last couple of game weeks, there is a lot of returning players for Newcastle. We have Joe Linton. We have Anderson is back full-time. Barnes is back. Bruno Guimaraes is nailed on. Longstaff is there. Trippier looks like he could come back. And I know Jacob Murphy has played a bit at right back. So, you know, I know they're not all challenging him directly. But because there's so many players coming back, the chances to give players like Jacob Murphy, who's played a nice stint the last while, a rest, is very likely. They play them four games in a row. So, you know, he averages around 60 to 70 minutes. If he goes on the lower scale of that, if we look at the last couple of games, 64, 70, 77, 64, 65, 68. Nearly 65 minutes guaranteed every game. So we double that if he gets the both starts, and that's 130 minutes. It is only 40 minutes more than the likes of a Chong. So, you know, if he does get the start, it's 40 minutes more. If he doesn't, it's the same thing. It's whatever you want. It's whatever you think will benefit your team more. I know it looks great, as I said, with that extra fixtures doesn't necessarily correlate to points. I still think he's a great pick, but don't overlook very good single game with players like the likes of Kudos. Luton at home this week. If somehow he's been dropped on your waiver because of his, you know, I wouldn't say lack of returns in the last while, but he's only got one assist in his last like 6-7 games. If he was dropped and people think West Ham aren't great, I'd be picking him up. He could likely to haul on any given day. Absolute baller. If you looked at the SofaScore results, West Ham and Chelsea, everyone was shit apart from Kudos. He was the only bright spark in that game. And yeah, I know they play City last game week, but he still could do something there. But that Luton fixture just looks very, very tasty. Hudson-Odoi, still an unbelievable pick. What a guy. What a guy. 15-pointer, 2 goals. And both of his goals were like exactly the same. He could have had a hat-trick of nearly identical goals. Cutting in from the left-hand side, on the right foot, whip it in. He racked up, or he has only racked up, he's only racked up 4.1 XGI this season. So technically he only should have 4 goals, but he's 9. or four returns, but he has nine returns. His expected goal involvement is only 2.5. His expected goals is only 2.5, excuse me, and he has seven. Maybe it's the type of shot that he does, the cutting in from the left and to the right. It seems, or maybe statistically, it's a very tough shot, but he's just an expert at it, because it seems like that's the only goal he scores. If Chelsea do rotate that defence, he's still not a bad start. I'm personally benching him this week in preparation for Burnley last game week, which could be an unbelievable game. Decides who stays up. Don't overestimate him. Don't just throw him in the bin. I think that Burnley fixture next week is going to be juicy. So, yeah, if he's still available, pick him up. Don't have to start him against Chelsea, but he's still very, very likely to return. Top of the list is our boy Adingra, and he has broken our hearts so many times this year, but it seems like the right time. It seems like the right time. He hadn't played for like 6-7 game weeks in a row in game week 25, and then banged two goals after we said, maybe he's not the best pick. So that's why he's broken our hearts. But Newcastle away, Chelsea at home, one of the more nailed Brighton players, and yeah, he's racked up, I think, 0.92 XGI last game week. So extremely unlucky not to return. I think Chelsea, Newcastle, both of them can be got at, but that Man United fixture, game week 38, that's like, they're one of the worst defences in the league, like statistically. They're in the bottom four now, I think. So that's like looking at a Burnley. That's looking at a Fulham. I know it sounds mad, but it's not just taking the piss out of them because they're meme. Or they are a meme at the minute. It's because statistically they are one of the best teams to target. So that's why even the likes of Jacob Murphy is very good, because they play Brighton, decent, okay fixture, but they play United in the second one. If he could start that, could be very good. It's just depending will he start and which one he will start. But if I had to pick Dingra, Kudos, Hudson-Odoi, all unbelievable picks for this week. Jacob Murphy, as we know, very, very solid pick, double game week, and then Brentford. But don't overestimate the likes of Chong, single game week player. If you are in need of a single game week player, Harrison also could be that man. Onto our forward suggestions. We have some decent ones. Start at the bottom, I suppose. Nkunku featured 14 minutes. I don't expect him to get a start in the double, just because Jackson actually returned and looks like he's hitting a bit of form. Like, until that game against West Ham, you could have thought, geez, Nkunku will get in there, but maybe the Bournemouth fixture, last game of the season, could be a shout. Still pick him up if you had a non-playing striker, of course. I just don't know if he's actually even worth the start game at 37, because they have two fixtures and he probably won't start either. Now, as we found out last week, never don't start a striker, because someone asked, should I start Adebayo? And I was like, did this big piece on, well, how much minutes will he get and so on and so forth. And he bangs. He was unbelievable for Luton. I know I was going to wait to talk about him, but West Ham away, Fulham at home, he would be top of my list of strikers that could be available. The likes of Archer, as I said, is available, can play, played 73 minutes, okay. Joao Pedro, great pick, fantastic pick, started the last day, missed a penalty and banged, so he still is a fantastic pick. He has a double game week and then plays United. Hard to go against that, but Adebayo's just as good. He was really, really tormenting Everton the last day, and Luton looked a different side without him. He's such an animal as well. He did that interview at the end with the boys, Sky Sports, and he's just an animal. So Adebayo, one of the best picks you can have at the end of the season forwards, if they are available. Now let's move on to our questions section of the podcast, and straight away it's a benching problem. Murphy or Hudson-Odoi? And it's very, very hard to pick. I'm going to presume you have both players. It's like a starting. If I was picking them up, I still think I'd pick Hudson-Odoi. I'd loads of stuff done out here that, you know, Jacob Murphy averaged 60 to 70 and so on and so forth. Just because I don't think Jacob Murphy gets the both starts. Hudson-Odoi, Chelsea, okay, decent fixture. Maybe you bench him. But I just really, really like that Burnley fixture last game of the season. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to go Hudson-Odoi. Maybe it's because I have him and he did so well for me last week. So yeah, I'm going to go Hudson-Odoi. I probably, if I was picking players up, could go Odinga over both of them. But I just really like that last game week fixture. A question I referenced earlier in the podcast, who's on the beach? What teams have very little to play for? And who do you think will roll over if you know, given the chance? Now, looking at all the teams, it's hard to really pick up like players that just gave up. Sheffield still, I know it sounds mad, but at least the Sheffield attackers still really, really fought tooth and nail for that that match the last day. Like the likes of Diaz and Hamer, like still look like they're on it. So it's hard to decide like which teams are definitely on the beach, but there's teams we can definitely target. Teams I'd avoid, I know it sounds mad, teams I'd avoid facing are Chelsea. They're really coming strong, and they could be in with a shout of European football. They definitely want to finish as high as possible. Every place in the Premier League is worth like 2.5 million, 2.2 I think it is, million per place. So I know it's hard to actually influence the players. You know, let's say the likes of Fulham, who I have down, being like, no, we really need to win this, and so on and so forth. Then players, how much do they care? They are probably on bonuses for every position they finish, but it only takes one person, two players, to, you know, really ruin a team. If two players aren't implementing a system, it is hard. So teams I would avoid, first and foremost, as I said, Chelsea, I think they're coming strong. Newcastle are coming strong. Loads of players back and fighting for Europe. Villa, as always, you know, coming strong. But the thing about Villa is that they are, especially against that Brighton team, they seemed fatigued. I think, you know, the Conference League is really taking it out of them. And, you know, they're in with a good shout at winning silverware. So they might be a team that you could get at, depending on the fixtures. And then Spurs, I know they've been very, very poor recently, but they need to take the finger out. So I think they will be coming gung-ho the last couple of games. So I kind of wouldn't go against Spurs. Palace are going really, really strong, solid team, and I think they seem really united. Therefore, you know, I wouldn't target Palace either. Teams I would target, Fulham, as I said, on the beach. they're flying kites. Sheffield, obviously, all day long. I know I said they work hard, but still, they're just not good enough. Wolves seem to be in that limbo. You know, they have a lot of injuries. It's hard to get any momentum when you have that, and the season's practically over for them. They can't do much. Everton, low scoring and structured, as I have down here, but yeah, they're maybe for a clean sheet. Everton don't look like ever smashing someone. So if they're happy with another draw and, you know, solidify their spot in the league, maybe. And Brighton, you know, why I think the Brighton could be attacked, even though they played very well, is if they continue to rotate, it's very, very hard to get a structure. As I just said with Everton, they're nearly the same team every day. Very structured, hard to break down. If Brighton somehow, you know, start rallying out players and give Barco a run and give Afe a run, and then Cissé comes back, that, you know, disjointed team could breed goals. Okay, so yeah, Everton, Brighton, Wolves, Fulham, Sheffield, they're the teams that I think could be exploited the last couple of game weeks. Under the radar, single game week players. So some of the players I haven't mentioned when I was in my midfield waiver suggestions were the likes of, if you really needed someone, Mudryk for the double. Has started most games. He started the last 5 games in a row. Played okay. I think he's kind of the odd one out. Sterling didn't even get a run the last day. So I think if... yeah, it's kind of like... it's squeaky bum time for Sterling. Could be the end of his Chelsea reign. And maybe breeding in Mudryk. I think the biggest thing Mudryk has in his advantage is that they've done well. They've done very well over the last couple of games. Won both games to nil, drew with Villa. So Mudryk is a double game week player, maybe a little shout, but single game week players, Neto. I'm sick of this man. Maybe Netro's not even a shout. I want to see him because they play Palace at home, but Palace are a solid team. Netro probably won't play more than 60 minutes. And if he does, he'll probably pull his hammy. So, you know what? Forget Netro. Let's go with Clivert. Clivert against Brentford at home. Bournemouth playing okay. Nailed down player. And he's been on form. And I suppose form is one of the best things that you can go by. It's a fantastic indicator. And if we were going by form, Harvey Elliott. Absolute balled out against Spurs. We'll probably start against Villa. As I said, Villa could be slightly fatigued. Longstaff, double game week. I suppose the best single game week players that I haven't mentioned. Clivert, Elliott. I've mentioned Harrison. There's not too many more. I'd be picking Chong. I'd be picking Kudos. They'd be the top two for me. Start Morris or Darwin. And I've looked into this slightly. I would probably start Morris. Mad to think. But Morris is a lot more to play for. He's on penalties. And playing a poor West Ham side, as I mentioned earlier. The worst thing for Darwin is Liverpool looked so good the last day against Spurs. Really, really flowing football. 4 goals. No, it doesn't mean Darwin's not going to start. I just think that Morris, you know, very, very good in the air. More to play for. Poor West Ham side. I don't know. I'd like to go for the man that has, you know, a bit of a grit between his teeth. So I'm going to go Morris. So this is a funny one because it's essentially all the waivers that we've mentioned in the last while. Gallagher, Hudson-Odoi, Murphy or Richarlison. Who would you pick? And funny, the answer is the person that we haven't mentioned, Richarlison. Richarlison played very, very well when he came on. I think he gets the start. I think he probably could start every game till the end of the season. Burnley, City, Sheffield. Two of them are unbelievable fixtures. And he looked really on it. He could start up top with Son on the wing. So unfortunately, even though Gallagher's been unbelievable, Hudson-Odoi's been really good for us and still is a good pick. And Murphy, all three of them are brilliant. I would take Richarlison. I'd want Richarlison in my team if it was me picking. I suppose I've answered the next one. It was, you know, Caldwell and De Sassi returning. Is Thiago Silva the answer? My answer would be yes. Go out with a bang. Chelsea quad. So Chelsea quadruple. That could be a shout. I suppose the only way to go out with a bang is to load up on players. It was so funny. One of our mates who we played draft with, a massive United fan, and the last game of the season, I don't think he'd entered the play for, he picked up the full 11 for United. Now, I'm not saying to do that, especially not United, but if there's a team there with doubles, if there's a team there with good fixtures that you think, fuck it, I'm going to go for it here. You know, if you pick up a Harrison, a McNeil, a Brathwaite, or whoever you could pick up from Everton against Sheffield, and then just go gung-ho. I've had to do it once or twice in my league where I know that I'm behind on score difference and I have to win and my opponent has to lose, or whoever's ahead of me has to lose, and the only way for me to win is to outdo his score difference. And the only way you can do that sometimes is just go all in on one team. It either works or it doesn't, you know, and it's a bit of crack. It's fun. If there's nothing to play for, if it's not too serious, maybe pick a team and go for it. Chelsea could be a good one, especially with the double. It's just going to be hard to pick the perfect players. But yeah, if you pick them all, they're bound to play. Question 9 I have down here. Murick or Pope? Who would you start? I'd start Pope. Just because, well, why not start a keeper that you think, you know, my player might not play. If he doesn't, who cares? If he does, they play Brighton, they play United. You know, just as good as Murick. I think they play Spurs, as far as I remember. Burnley and Spurs. That should be the fixture. Give me 2 seconds. Yeah, Burnley and Spurs. So, yeah, Murick got a special shout out at the start of the podcast. But I'd still be going with Pope. Because if he does get the double, you're definitely going to play him. If he doesn't, who cares? It's a bit of a toss-up. And then last question, Stone's replacement. Stone's replacement. So, if you go back to my defenders list, I would be going for... If Trippier's there, Thiago Silva's there. If you really didn't want Stones, even though he has a double game week, mightn't be the worst person to keep. If you did want that double game week, went for a Webster. If Reguilon somehow is available, But yeah, Stones is not the absolute worst. Stones not the absolute worst. I would avoid the West Ham boys because I know they play Luton and it looks like a great fixture, Luton at home. But as I said, West Ham are so bad at the back. That's one fixture I wouldn't go for. I think Luton will score in that. So yeah, hard to pick. Hard to pick, but I'd probably go for Thiago Silva if available. And then Wissa and Højlund. So this is a replacement for Wissa and Højlund. I wouldn't get too worried about the Wissa benching. I don't think there's too many strikers you could replace Wissa or Højlund with. I wouldn't be replacing Højlund. I'd definitely be keeping Højlund, you know, guaranteed starter. I know United aren't great, but it's still kind of, you still kind of have to have him. If you were replacing Wissa, Adebayo would be the man. That is us. Double game week 37 wrapped up. Feels like this 37 one has been coming for ages since it was announced. But as always, appreciate every listen so much. You don't realise. Thank you for any interaction. Any questions, send them in on Instagram or Twitter and we'll be happy to help. But other than that, FPL Draft, you're out. Boom.